We are speaking on the subject of renewal, that is, repositioning ourselves for new experiences on the earth. Repositioning ourselves for new experiences on the earth. And in Luke chapter 5 here, all right, we started looking at that process last week that God wants to pour when God wants to, all right, pour out something new into the earth. He demands that there is repositioning on the part of the people that will receive that new experience into their lives. So in Luke 5 here in verse 33, it says, "And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but your own disciples eat and drink. And Jesus said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then shall they fast in those days." So it says that the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and in those days they shall fast. So Jesus was saying a time is going to come. All right, right now they are not fasting. They lay their hands on the sick, they recover. They cast out devils, the devils come out. Even having eaten, full lunches and full breakfast, the power of God is in operation. Now, what they don't know is that I'm the one, that's Jesus now, generating that power. But a time will come when I will be taken away from them. And what will happen is that they will try to do the same things, and there will be no manifestation. They'll try to cast out the devil. They'll find out nothing is going to happen. They'll lay their hands on the sick. They'll find out that what used to happen, all right, 3 weeks or 1 month or 2 months ago, is no longer happening the way it used to happen. It says that day they will now understand that in order to get that visible presence, my visible or manifest presence in their lives there, in that tangible form, it will need, all right, that they fast once again. Now, we in our lives, we should just be perceptive there. In other words, we should be able to look into our lives and know the times and seasons that call, all right, for us to take some time away and just fast there, even as a private fast of 1 day. That is when the power of God seems to be waning. When things might be creeping into your life that you will never have entertained in your thought life, all right, maybe a year ago, months ago, and you see that the power of God, all right, and virtue seems to be waning there, then it's important, right, to take some time away, and you don't allow yourself to get conditioned to living without the power of God in operation in your life. You don't put yourself, right, into that kind of space and get conditioned that way. Can I say again, blessed memory used to say, all right, that listen, when the power of God starts waning and he feels the anointing dropping, what he'll do is that he'll take a day, skip a few meals, and spend more time with God and get that power level back up. Now, this is what Mordecai was telling Esther. He said, I can see some movements there. I can see signs here that something is going on. Remember many years ago, a man used to preach. All right, I can remember his face now. Right? And he's on Facebook now. And he used to preach this message. All right, fighting your battles before, or living on the cutting edge. And what that meant was fighting your battles before they manifest. In other words, nipping things in the bud. That when you are sorrowful there, when you pick up that, you know, things might be changing, that before everything breaks out into the natural world there, and you are weakened by what is going on, all right, in the physical realm, and highly discouraged, you picked it up while it was still in the realm of the spirit, while people were still imagining that particular thing, the Holy Ghost sent a message to you. You started feeling sorrowful on the inside of yourself and decided to pray that particular thing through whatever it was. Jesus picked this up for Peter and said, Satan has asked that he might sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Mordecai was a type of the Holy Spirit, picked it up first, communicated to Esther that it's a type of the church, and said, put on sackcloth here now. He said, movement has started by Haman, and he has started moving against the people of God. In other words, Satan, or Haman, who is a type of Satan, has started moving. It wasn't yet visible unto Esther. So Esther did not see the necessity to put on sackcloth and mourn and all of that. She even sent it back and said, look, give us, you know, clothing here that we can, you know, be merry. And he said, look, you are in the kingdom for such a time as this, that if you altogether hold your peace, that look, this thing will lead to your destruction. So Esther had to put on the sackcloth and dealt with it. Now, they didn't wait till the day that Haman had appointed and got the letters written for the battle to kill the Jews. If it was at that time they were picking it up, then great damage would have been done and it would have been difficult for them to reverse everything. But the Holy Spirit picked it up and communicated it, right, to Esther there, or to the church, body of Christ, go into the presence of the king there and go and offer your supplications for the reversal of what Haman has purposed in his heart that he will do. And they secured that. So in the day where they were supposed to fight, they were supposed to be killed, there was light, there was joy, and there was gladness, right, in the hearts of the people on that particular day. They reversed everything. So it's important, all right, that we get sensitive to the Holy Spirit, all right? Be focused and understand that the Holy Spirit will send messages to us that we pick up in the realm of the Spirit, and we respond, all right, to these particular things there in order to be able, right, to have the advantage. So it is important, all right, the Holy Spirit will communicate to you and nudge you, all right, inside your heart about certain things, and you respond, right? Don't just, you know, sleep. And that's what happened. Jesus was telling them. He said, watch with me. Something is coming. Peter, what are you talking about? He said, things have changed in the realm of the Spirit. I'm sorrowful. I am heavy. He said, what are you talking about? All right, Peter said, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Now, they went to sleep out of the heaviness there. Jesus prayed that particular thing through, and they got the victory. So, Jesus said, in that day, they will fast. Remember that when Haman was moving against Mordecai, and when that fast started, the first thing that happened was there was a reversal of something. And Haman went back to tell his wife, Zeresh, I think, that listen, I was supposed to be promoted today. My enemy Mordecai was placed on the horse. The woman said, you have begun to fall. In other words, the seasons have changed. I don't see what you can do. So listen, when you are in an office and you see movement, you came into this office, everybody was happy, you were happy, you were enjoying every single moment, all right, of it. And suddenly there was change in the countenance of people, everything. You pick up on this, you don't wait until something happens and you say, oh, and I saw it, oh, and I noticed, oh, and I saw it, oh, and I sensed it. Once you sense it, this is what he's saying, get yourself into some form of fast there and deal with that particular thing in the realm of the Spirit. So he went on and said this, and he spake a parable unto them, that no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise Both, then both, the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new, all right, agreeth not with the old. In other words, you can't pour new into old. The old will not agree with the new. The old mindset will not agree with the new mindset that God is bringing. All right, in order for you to enter. That's why this repositioning and renewal must occur. No man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles will perish. But new wine must be put in new bottles, and then both are preserved. No man having drunk old wine straight away desireth new, for he saith the old is better. So no man straight away desires anything new. Nobody straight away does that. There is no man on the earth having tasted the old, having participated in the previous things that God did inside his life, will straight away, immediately, all right, respond to the new. We are creatures of habit, and we are used, once we are used to something and get comfortable with it, right, we resist change, we resist adjustment, all right, and we do not, all right, want anything new, all right, to come in, because we believe it's a threat, all right, to status quo, and what that means literally is a threat to our own power there. So it says you cannot put new wine into old bottles. Now it says what is going to happen? The bottles will break, they will perish, and the wine will get spilled or wasted. So God is saying here, I want to pour new wine into my people. Fresh experiences, fresh things that I want to pour out right into them. He said, but the problem is that I cannot pour these things into them the way they are. They have taken the shape of the last move and the old order inside their lives. If I pour it, what is going to happen? The bottles will perish. If you know that pouring this new wine you created into this old bottle that you have will cause the bottle to break, will cause the wine to be spilled, and the bottle to perish, you will destroy the bottle and waste the wine, you will be out of your mind to still pour the wine into that bottle. So God says, I cannot. Even if I have something massive that I want to pour out, I have to wait until the bottle is changed before I pour it out. I will hold back that wine there, not because I just want to hold it back, but listen, I don't want to destroy any person's life. I don't want any person to perish. I don't want any person, all right, to seemingly now start getting placed. Get in, you know, an increased measure of power, influence, material things, some advantage. And it will now lead it to that person that the Bible says, gain the world and lose your entire soul. I don't want their souls to be lost because of some advantage that I have given unto them. So God says, I will hold back on the things that I want to do until my people understand the process. They allow me to change them first. They understand that they have to be changed from being old to becoming new. The process there, first of all, means you heat the wineskin until it becomes flexible again. It says you are no longer flexible, you are not open, all right, to new ideas. When you got saved, so to speak, you are open, you are learning things. Then you became the master of a particular order, and you felt that this is all, and you got rigid again. He said, so what has to happen is that you have to go through, all right, the process where not a brand new bottle, when they give a new wineskin, it means it is renewed. It means that it is now fresh. It has gone through a process, soaked in oil. Several things now, it is now fresh, all right, and new once again. and you can pour that particular new wine in. God says, we pour what we want to do with your mindset. He said, you give you that power the way you are. We give you that influence the way you are. We give you all what you are talking about. All right. You go to places. He said, with the way you are. He said, listen, you might get lost in the midst of it. Now, this brings us to understand what Paul Peter was saying. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting from verse 8, it tells us this. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, don't be ignorant of this. Get this concept. You say, well, you know, 100 years. Now, 100 years, God can compress what you think will take 100 years and do it within a week. He can compress what you think will take you a lifetime and get it done, all right, in 3 days. That God has the power to compress, all right, those things and gets those things done. I think it was Bishop T.D. Jakes that said, in 4 years, God had done through him what he thought his entire ministry was all about in his lifetime. So God compresses all of that and gets it done. He said, God can do that. He said, well, let's see what the problem is. Verse 9, it says, and God is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You say, well, the Lord is slack. It takes time. He says, he's not slack. As some men count slackness. But is long-suffering towards us. In other words, he's putting up with certain things in us that should no longer be there for us to get into this. He says, not willing that any should do what? Perish. In other words, you pour new wine into the old bottle, it perishes. He says, this promise, I am not slack, but I don't want you to perish. He says, but all should come to what? Repentance. Repentance then means a change from the inside out. All right, a renewal. That's what I'm waiting for. God says, I'm waiting for you to subject yourself to the process of renewal there on the inside. For you to be renewed there on the inside there. He says, I don't want you to perish. Without that renewal happening there, he says, we pour out this wine here. We pour these things out into you, all right? You'll say, well, we pour out $10 million into your hands. He said, some people, all right, when you walk into church service, you, even though you're walking on the ground, your head will be somewhere else. A friend, I remember when we were in school, told me, he said, you won't believe this, he started doing business. He said, I made some money. He said, you know what happened to me? I came into fellowship and all of you look like fools. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you're all students. Said, I had cash. He said, oh, look, these people don't know what they're talking about. I've made money here now. You know, you start behaving. You don't know what came on. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. God says, we don't want that. Then after some time, when it's time for the brethren to come together, you are asleep. You say, well, I don't know what they're talking about again. He said, it would have been better. You know, a lady told me, she was said this church. She was got married. She got married somewhere, but she's come to church. She said, I've said this one. She said, I prayed to God in heaven. He said, what? He said, my husband won't be wealthy. I said, ha, this is witchcraft. Ah, he said, Pastor, whatever you call it. I said, what? How can you be doing that? He said, let me tell you. My parents were good, happy. We were okay. We, the children, were enjoying our parents and marital life. Until my father broke through. Money came in. He said, with money, women came in. Split our home. Children from various women started coming. Said, I vowed. Said, from what I saw, money in great measures, said, as far as I was concerned, is problem. So I vowed, when I get married, my husband will not see this kind of money. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, the marriage ended though. Now, that marriage ended. If I'm just thinking about it, I think it ended in 4 weeks or something, okay? Because, of course, she was messed up about things and it would go into all kinds of, four weeks or something. For all intents and purposes, it was over, right? But, you know, when she said that kind of thing, it's because of, you know, she had experienced certain things. So somebody says, God blesses you, you don't, you know, even some things that, you know, you live in an environment where, that's why Jesus said, you're asking, who is it on my left or right? Do you know what you are asking? This prayer you're praying, do you know the meaning of it? All right.
You say, God, raise me up, raise me up, raise me up, raise me up. Your feet is not yet rooted properly. Raise me up, raise me up. They raise you up. God says, wait. He says, raise me up. You don't understand. You get into even maybe government. You don't understand the process there. All right? You see people, any small thing, they write it down. You are coming from an environment where there's trust. Every small receipt, they write it down. Everything. Next thing, one day, somebody comes and says to you, can you do this particular thing? He's your boss. You say, sir, okay, no problem, I will do it. You know there's a problem with that thing and it could become a problem. But the boss knows what he's doing. Instead of you to have said, write this thing down so we have it, we'll send an email to me. You do it based on trust. You run into serious trouble. They say, somebody might go to jail here. You think the boss will cover for you? He said, I will have your back. You call the boss. You say, who is it? Mr. So-and-so. I cannot recall that name. Neither can I recall seeing this face in this office. You say, what? All right, fine. Then you realize that, listen, this is how this is. God said, it takes training. Are you following what I'm saying here? It takes certain things to happen on the inside of you so that you are ready for that particular position, all right, that I want to get you into. There is a renewal that must occur, all right, inside you. There is a work that I want to do so that you're ready there. See the kind of work he did in Abraham. The Bible says God tempted Abraham when he told him to offer up Isaac. The word tempt there is not the same thing as tempt with evil. That word tempt means it's almost to say he took him on a stress test to make, which means a car manufacturer tests his car, takes it on a test drive, calls people from all over and says, I want you to see what I did or what I have done and what we are doing in the last 2 years. This is a different type of car. If you drive it to flames, it will never catch fire. Nothing, and you say, let us test it. You say, well, put the flames out. So what did God do to Abraham? He said, I want you to see the work I have done in Abraham, both for him to will and to do of my good pleasure. That I've done a formative work in Abraham. Abraham has partaken of my nature. He's on the inside of him. They said, how? He said, what was Abraham's prayer? Abraham said, was to have a child. He said, all right, take this child that you love. Now, remember when it was Ishmael, that work had not yet been done. God did not tell him to kill Ishmael. All that they said was tell Ishmael to go. It was grievous in the eyes of Abraham. Now they are saying, this son you love, take him to the altar and go and kill him. Abraham carried the boy without any restraint there, and he was willing to put it. God says, all right, that's the same thing I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is I will bless you with anything you want, so long as you will never be attached to it. If I ask for it tomorrow, you will carry it and place it on the altar. If that particular thing is going to become your idol, if you're going to, there will be some restraint inside you giving it up, then he says we have got to wait until that circumcision is complete in your heart, where you are totally detached from that particular thing. Where if you get the job from God there, all right, there's a separation unto God. That's what is called holiness. You are separated unto God. That if God demands for that job, and what's the demand? They come and meet you and tell you to do something that is wrong. And they say, if you don't do this, then you cannot be inside this office. And you say, well, there's no problem. All right, it is God that is asking me for my seed, Isaac. You can have the job and you place the job on the altar because you understand, all right, God has worked on the inside of you. There's no fear. The same way Abraham went and said, I will put Isaac here on the altar. But that work was so deep that Abraham said, after I place him on the altar and I finish with him, both of us will come down from this path. That's how much. He didn't just go there and say, okay, I will kill him. He said, I will kill him, but God will raise him back to life. That's how deep it was. And me and Isaac will come down from this place. So that person tells him, you can have the job, but I will not be jobless for 24 hours. Watch what God will do because of the kind of work that God has done on the inside of you. All right? That is, you have entered into something. And the authority and the boldness, even the people interacting with you will know that this is a different species of being. That this person, all right, something else, this is not normal. Something else is at work on the inside of this person. God is the one who has produced something in the soul of this person, all right, such that, okay, God remains your God even though he blesses you so much, all right, with things on the outside.
Thank you for listening.